The Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Microsun Lamps.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WISO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I am absolutely thrilled to welcome Ann Cleaves to the program. Hello, Ann.
Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Ann, I have admired your work for years, and here you are. I can't believe it.
Well, it's lovely to be here in the U.S. celebrating the new book and meeting readers. It's always lovely to meet readers.
I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with your work, but for those who are not, tell us, who are you and what have you done?
Oh, I've been writing for a long time. I'm one of those writers who started off very under the wire. Nobody had heard of me. I was lucky enough just to keep published. So after 20 years, I wrote the first of my Shetland books, and that was a career changer. I write the Shetland series, and I've written the Vera books, both of which have been turned into TV shows, Shetland on BBC and Vera on ITV, and now I've got a new series that I'm just starting.
And many of our listeners are going, oh, yeah, I have seen those TV shows, or I have read those books, or both, and... What is it, 8 books in the Shetland series now and 8 books in the Vera series?
That's right. I've just finished the first draft of the 9th one. I won't be writing any more Shetland books. I think 8 is enough for a small place with a population of only 23,000 people. I think the TV shows will continue, which will be fantastic. But there will be no more Shetland books.
No more Jimmy, huh?
No more Jimmy, yeah.
But Jimmy has been replaced, apparently, by someone named Matthew. Tell us about Matthew.
Matthew Venn is my new detective. He comes from North Devon, which is where I grew up. So it's going back to my roots, going back home, back to the place in the West Country of beaches and moorland. And I love it very much, small communities. And Matthew grew up in a very controlling evangelical community, and there are small churches like that in the West Country in the UK, and hit 18, and as many of us do, started to question the beliefs of his parents, and he was cast out, unfellowshipped, I think they call it,
mm-hmm.
and had a minor nervous breakdown, and I think his way of dealing with that loss of family and of faith was to join the police force because he found the sense of duty and honour and maybe redemption that he was looking for there. But the book starts with him coming home and he's back in North Devon with a new partner, with a husband, and he is standing outside the crematorium where his father, where the funeral of his father is taking place, but he doesn't feel that he would be welcome, so he's just standing outside, and that's when he gets the call that there's been a murder.
He's an exile, in a way, who has returned to his original land. He grew up there, but then he left, and when he fell in love, that's kind of what brought him back.
That's right, yes, and It's the first happy marriage that I think I've ever written, and I'm so enjoying writing that happy marriage. So it's been fun to do. And it's quite interesting, you're talking about the exile returning. I only found out, because a reader told me, that there's a Thomas Hardy book that has a character called Venn in it, and it is the return of the native.
Uh-huh.
So that's very good coincidence.
I am not familiar with North Devon, but based on your book, I'm going to guess that it's a fairly rural and conservative area. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it's a very mixed area, and I think that's what makes it good to write about. So it until very recently, was very rural, very cut off. It's still quite tricky to get to, even though they've road. So small farming communities, small market towns. Holidaymakers used to come and stay in the big hotels in holiday seaside towns like Ilfracombe. But people's holiday plans change, and in the UK, people are more likely to fly off to the Med than go and stay in a British seaside town now. So those hotels have been filled with, they become homes of multiple occupations, so students, single people, people, they become bail hostels or hostels for people with drug and alcohol problems. So the whole mix of the area is quite interesting. Where there are, and there are still some very grand hotels there. Mm. People come and work for the summer season and then maybe stay because they don't have anywhere else to go. So it's quite a transient, quite an interesting community, I think, as well as those rural areas. And then there are arty folk who come in because it's beautiful place to paint and sculpt. And so there are lots of different interweaving communities there.
And did you grow up in a little village then?
I grew up in Barnstaple, which is the main town in North Devon. Okay. Still a small market town, not a city at all. But that's where I grew up there, yeah.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. And my guest in the Book Nook today is Ann Cleaves. Her book, The Long Call, is her first book in a new series featuring a detective named Matthew Venn. And I had a guest on here 18 years ago, a guy who wrote under the pen name of Ed McBain. And I said,
right.
I said, Ed, I said, what's the formula? Do you have a formula? He says, well, he says, first of all, he says, you got to start off with a corpse.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way this book starts.
It does. It starts with the body. I write, I think, very traditional English detective stories, in the vein of the Golden Age writers of not so much Agatha Christie. Agatha Christie I find very ruthless and very cold, but maybe Dorothy Sayers, Josephine Tay. So I like that structure of a body, a limited number of suspects, and then some form of resolution, because that frees me up to look at the things that really interest me. So, yes, it starts with a body.
And this... this victim, we don't figure out what really happened to this person until the very last few pages. You just really string us along in this one.
Well, I hope so. Yes. I, as a reader, I love that cheap thrill of the surprise ending, you know, that sense of, of course it's him and I never realized.
Mm-hmm.
So I do enjoy doing that. If you can do it for the reader, that's fun as well. It doesn't always happen, but it's nice if it works.
In your acknowledgments, you thank a reader named Jackie White, who you say gave you the courage to tackle this subject. What is the subject? Can we say what that is?
Without giving a spoiler, I think it's about, she worked for a long time with people with a learning disability and has a son with Down syndrome. And she sent me an email, and the sort of email that writers get a lot, you know, saying how much people enjoy their work, a lovely email. But she said that sometimes bad things happen to people with a learning disability and they don't have the words to explain what's gone on. And so quite often the bad things are ignored. And she said, would you have the words to tell a story like that?
Mm. They are so vulnerable. Because of that.
But I think the central character, Lucy Braddock, is very feisty and a fighter. And I loved writing her, too, and her, the relationship with her father.
She is a wonderful character.
I did speak to a young woman with Down syndrome before I started writing the book, amazing woman called Izzy, and I was chatting. And she, you know, she's very competent. I think we have a mistaken view that everybody with Downs has the same sort of problems and the same sort of abilities, but she reads, she writes, she's much better at technology than I am. She works in a cafe, and so I was talking to her about well, I'm writing this book, Izzy. Would you be able to keep a secret? And she reckoned that she would, and that's important for the plot, that Lucy's able to keep her secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, would you be able to lie, Izzy? And her mum answered before she did, oh, yes, she'd be able to lie. She works in this cafe and she tells me she eats salad every day. I know that she has the odd slice of chocolate cake.
What made you decide to create a protagonist who is gay?
It wasn't conscious thought, really. I think people have come up to me and said, oh, it's so politically correct. Did your publisher ask you to do it? It wasn't any of those things. The reason why the book got written where it was that my husband died quite suddenly, almost 2 years ago. And I just needed to run away. I live up in the northeast of England in Vera Land, if you've seen the show. That wild, beautiful place up in the northeast. And just wanted to run away from the memories and from people's sympathy, really. And the place I ran to was North Devon because an old school friend, someone I've known since I was 11, lived there. And she came up with me to the funeral, and then I went back down with her and stayed with her for a little while. But the people who, when Tim died, who really looked after me, who scooped me up and took me back to their flat and fed me and just were there for me, were a gay couple, very, very close friends of both Tim and mine, and we'd been away on holiday with them, and they were just the kindest people. And I think that when I started reading the book, they were in my head. They were the people that I had in my head. And so that's how it happened. But then, of course, it also helped the plot because you could understand the barrier between Matthew and his parents, the lack of acceptance that their son could be gay because of the community that they've been brought up in.
Well, Matthew is a compelling character, and I think the thing that I really like about him is that he's very gentle and you can hardly imagine him suddenly being forced to get into fisticuffs with someone. You just can't even picture it.
Yeah. I think that that there are quite a lot of police officers like that. I think not all police officers are macho, tough out there. Certainly in the UK, our police are asked to do lots of social work these days. You know, a lot of the cases they're dealing with are people with mental health problems, people who are threatening to harm themselves rather than to harm other people. And that ability to be calm and to listen and to accept people as they are rather than go in heavy-handed is what a lot of police officers need these days. And I think those sort of skills are being valued more than they were.
And his husband, Jonathan, he's another very likable character, and they seem to have this wonderful relationship, which in this genre, as you noted, this is the first happy marriage that you've had. In this genre, that is somewhat unusual. It seems like we have the stereotype of police officers who have dysfunctional marriages. And I was reminded a little bit of your imprint mate Louise Penny in her Armand Gamache series, where they have this wonderful relationship.
That's right. Louise and I are great friends. I'm doing a joint event with her in Toronto at the end of this. And when she comes to UK, we do joint events too. And I admire her books tremendously. And there is that warmth. And also what Venn and Gamache have, I think, I don't know if you know, the Simenon's Maigret books, but
Sure.
Maigret always says that his role is to understand, not to judge. And I think that that striving for understanding is what they have in common, too.
Oh, my. Those are such great books.
Yeah.
Even though the author is considered to be not so great as a person, he certainly wrote wonderful books.
He did. I'm going on to Crime Bake in in Massachusetts near Boston at the end of next week, and I have to give a masterclass. And I think my idea of a masterclass would just to be every aspiring crime writer, the Maigret books to write. They are so slender and they're so slim. Mm. But in one sentence, Simenon can give a real sense of a character and a place and move the plot on, just maybe by describing a room. He's just such a good writer.
Mm. Well, please, if you think of it, give my fond regards to Louise Penny. We've had her on the show for her last three books, and she is one of my favorite people in the world to interview.
Oh,
she is
a wonderful
just
woman. Yeah,
so kind. Yeah, she's just amazing. All right, Anne, can we tell our listeners a little bit more about the story? Can we talk about Jonathan's job at all, what he does?
Yeah, let's talk about Jonathan's job, because I think that's my ideal. There is in Barnstable, where the town where a lot of the action takes place, where the police station is, there is in reality this what used to be an old timber firm. And when I was a schoolgirl there, it made doors and window frames, and it was a huge place. It employed a lot of people. But I don't know what happened. It went bust. Anyway, the building is still there, and it's just rotting away, and people keep thinking that they're going to have a retail park there, or they're going to build very exclusive apartments. But still it's there. And I thought, wouldn't it make just the most brilliant community art centre? So in my imagination, there's this community art centre, which we call the Woodyard. And it's got a performance space, and it teaches middle-aged women to do watercolour, and there's a community choir and all those things that would be wonderful to have. But it also houses a day centre for people with a learning disability, so they're integrated into the fabric of the community there. And Jonathan is the manager. He looks after it all.
And this is very much a central location in the story. There's a lot of activity related to this facility, and a lot of intrigue, a lot of people in the community who were involved in some way or other with the facility, and this really drives the plot.
Yeah, I think, again, it's quite hard to talk about it without spoilers, but I think it's about a conspiracy between powerful men in the end. And I think we've all seen politically that quite often the cover-up becomes more toxic than the event, and that sense that the entitled and the powerful can come together to hide things that have happened is what I was wanting to explore in there.
My guest is Anne Cleaves. We're talking about her debut novel in a new series featuring Detective Matthew Venn, set in North Devon, and it's called The Long Call. And his colleague, I absolutely love his colleague. Tell us about her. She is just really fun.
Oh, Jen Rafferty.
Yes.
Yes, Jen's from Liverpool, a Scouser. One of those women that marry too early and marry badly and have their children too young, and was in an abusive relationship and took her kids back to North Devon, but they're growing up now and they're approaching independence, and she feels that she's missed out. So she's one of, I think we've quite often met these people who hit young middle age and realize that they never did the student thing, they never did the wild party thing, so they're going to do it now. So she's quite wild, quite predatory. The family's quite rackety and resilient and looks after itself, and she works, and that's what she does. And I'm just thinking about the new Matthew Venn book at the moment, and it starts off with her at a party.
You're talking about the second book, the next book?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is a Scouser? Explain.
Oh, sorry, a Scouser is someone from Liverpool, and okay. They have a reputation for being fiery and emotional, and lots of people from Ireland settled in Liverpool because it's the closest city.
Was John Lennon a Scouser?
That's right. John Lennon was a Scouser.
Okay.
All the Beatles were Scousers. That sort of accent and that sort of emotion and wit and humour is very much Scouse.
Well, reading this story, quite often someone will observe another person is speaking and they will be able to try to detect or know right away where they are from. Are there are there really so many detectable accents in the UK?
There are, yes. So in when Morris, Lucy Braddock's dad, is speaking to her, he'll call her maid. How are you, maid? You all right, maid? And in the northeast where I live, that you would never hear that. That would be lass. War lass is my wife, my woman. So there are dialect words, but there are also accents. It's not so much now, but when I first moved to the northeast in the 1980s, I could tell which former Pitt village people came from. Each tiny village had its own slight variation in accent.
Amazing. When Vera says love, is that a regional thing?
That is. In the northeast, it would be more pet or
pet.
Hinny.
Okay.
So she would say pet or hinny, really.
Okay.
But I think that's a bit stereotyped now. There was a TV show called Au Wiedersehen Pet, which was about a bunch of northeast builders going and working in Germany. So the pet thing has become a bit stereotyped. So I think they try and avoid too much of that. But it would be pet,
My guess is Anne Cleves. Anne, I get the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you are very happy with the television depictions of your books. Am I correct?
You are very correct, yes. I made a decision right at the beginning that I didn't want to interfere. I've seen other people's getting so anxious and so upset about the way that adaptations have happened, and I didn't need that kind of anxiety. So having met the wonderful Elaine Collins, who discovered the Vera books first and went on to be executive producer in both shows, I knew that she was a reader. I knew that she got the essence of the books. That was enough. I think I'm much more exercised that there is that atmosphere, the tone, the voice, the characters, that they're right. And I'm very relaxed if they want to change the murderer or bring in new characters or cut out old ones or even change the victim. That is much less important to me than that the tone and the atmosphere and the sense of place is right.
I've had the Scottish novelist Ian Rankin on the show a number of times, and when his Inspector Rebus series was turned into television adaptations, he wouldn't watch them because he didn't want to have a different image of Rebus in his mind. He just couldn't do that. I assume that doesn't bother you at all.
It doesn't really, because certainly, well, Jimmy Perez in the Shetland books, my Jimmy Perez looks so different from Dougie Henshaw, who plays him, that I can keep that image very firm in my mind. That's fine. I can. But what Dougie does, he might not look like my Jimmy Perez, but he has that compassion, and it's very hard for a strong male actor to be kind, and Dougie can do kind absolutely wonderfully, and he listens too, and he can be still, and so that's all that I need. I mean, I don't care that he doesn't have dark hair. Vera, I think we talk now about our Vera. I've become very good friends with Brenda. She actually came to the States with me a couple of years ago to Malice Domestic, one of the crime writing conventions, and got a terrific reception there. But occasionally I'll get a note from her to say, oh, there's a new scriptwriter and he wants to do this. I don't think our Vera would do this. Do you? So it's like having a representative on set. She's there battling for the concept of Vera that we both have.
She is amazing. I have no clue what she's like as a person, but, man, her depiction of Vera is so good.
Oh, she's a double Oscar nominee. You know, she is a very, very fine actor who was in Secrets and Lies, was nominated for an Oscar for that and for Little Voice. And it was after that, that just after those awards, I think, that we started pitching the Vera script to her, and we're just very fortunate that she said yes. She liked the puzzle.
My guest is Ann Cleaves. Her new one is The Long Call. It's her first one introducing Detective Matthew Venn. Did I hear a rumor that they're already talking about turning this into a TV show?
The same production company, Silver Print Pictures, which makes Vera and Shetland, has optioned it, yes. No guarantee, of course, that it will be made, but they have got a scriptwriter on board, and so fingers crossed, yes, it will be. And I think they would look at it, as I do, as a more ensemble piece than most crime dramas. So the whole team, Jen Rafferty, Matthew and Jonathan, and even talking about having Lucy as a returning character.
Oh.
So I think that it'll be, if it all works out, I think it'll be a very, very interesting show.
And you said you're currently writing the second book, or you...
Just thinking about it. I've just finished the first draft of A New Vera, which is a winter country house murder mystery set just before Christmas, but with a very contemporary twist. That'll be out in September. So now's the time when I'm just thinking about A New Matthew, but I haven't got very far yet.
Are you one of these writers who, when you're at home, you write every day and you have a certain time that you like to write?
I write much better early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm a very early riser. And, yes, that's my favorite time. Still in my pajamas at the kitchen table with a laptop. Lots of tea, of course, because I'm British. And get as much as I can done in the morning.
There's a lot of coffee being brewed and a lot of tea being consumed in this story. In fact, there's so much coffee being brewed, I kept picturing Jack Reacher come strolling in and he'd want a sip and go, no, that is bad coffee.
I think Matthew is never going to be a drinker in the way of some of the traditional crime heroes, is he? You can't imagine him having a wild time in a bar, but can imagine him sharing coffee and tea with people.
Yeah. Well, this is a delightful debut, Anne, and I'm suddenly all excited about reading the next book, and another year maybe on that one?
Yeah, that should come out September, not next September, but the following September, so 2021, and you...
And you've got an event tonight in Seattle, I see.
I am at the University Bookstore in Seattle tonight. I'm then traveling to Denver tomorrow, and the following day I'm in Tattered Covers Bookstore in Denver. And, yes, so moving on, and then Cannes, then St. Louis, and then a number of events in Massachusetts.
Well, it must be so wonderful to meet your American readers.
I love meeting readers wherever they are, and it is certainly great to see them.
Well, it's been my pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope to have you back again sometime, Anne.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling and for talking to me.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Anne Cleaves. Her new one is The Long Call, and it's the first book introducing Detective Matthew Venn. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.